If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hi, welcome.
This is hardcore.
Co-hosted by Terry and Gatch. The next episode's about to hatch. Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. We're keeping it low-key today. Hope you are, too. My name's Terry Guile, and across the table is my cohort.
Gatch.
He's my cohort in crime. We break laws here, so we do. In the background, warming us up for our mellow Monday, is Yob, title track from their 2003 release, Catharsis. Mm-hmm. What this means to me is these guys are going to do a hometown show at the Wow Hall.
Wow.
On Friday the 13th next month. So that's a scary day.
It's going to be loud.
Yeah. They're playing with Ninth Moon Black and Tormentium, two local Eugene bands.
Wow.
One is a black metal band that wears corpse paint. Good friends of the guys in Yob, though. Is why they
do it. Doesn't matter what color their skin is.
Their skin is white.
Oh.
They wear corpse paint. They're dead. And the singer, he likes to have fake blood all over his mouth and
neck.
Right on. And then Ninth Moon Black, big ensemble of five or six guys and a girl, I think, and keyboards, visual effects, a screen behind them with a somewhat synced up video to their songs. Very cool. So go check that out. And of course, Yob, always awesome. Don't know the price. It's probably around $10. September 13th. Yeah. He's ready for the bum ba da ba da bum ba da ba da. We're going to keep it mellow for about 23 minutes for the intro.
I'm already on to the next song, huh?
Yeah, you're like, well, you're on to the third movement, I guess, of the song.
I don't know. Oh, movements.
I think he does.
I didn't
movements.
Know people. Were, yeah, that's interesting because, you know, movements typically with classical music. You know, you don't hear many people writing in movements these days.
Yeah, this one.
But
was
you would
never
have to probably if you were writing
24-minute song.
Yeah,
yeah. This one doesn't say it has movements, like it's not separated out, but it definitely has like three significant parts.
Could you call a song a movement? Whereas the album is the song.
Like the whole entity of... Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
If you were lazy,
just,
you could
just... I mean, well, just like over time as, you know, recordings became what they were and to where, you know, things had tracks, you could break them up.
Right. And this song has such significant differences. I mean, it's all still one song, but being it's 24 minutes long almost, they have a hard time squeezing it into their set when they have, you know, the title track from... Great Cessation is 22 minutes in itself, so...
You play
unless
a set of three, four songs,
exactly,
you know,
and you're done.
You put on a show.
Yeah, and so what they started to do was play just the final five-minute movement, which I call it, of this song, Catharsis, where it starts... When they really start get on it, you know, it's... This is mellow and drawn out, lots
uh-huh.
of weird guitar
oh, yeah.
and chord progressions, and then at the end...
Some splunking.
They get on it. I don't know if we'll make it there, because... I don't know, we usually fade the music out
yeah.
after about 2 or 3 minutes, but it's hard to fade this out even though it keeps glitching. Oh, today, first time ever, forgot my board, which is not usually important unless we
I know.
Have a guest.
How are you going to go surfing with Al now?
I can only hang five with... How can I hang five without a board? was hanging five, man. That's all.
Dude, now you got a whole surf bit.
Yeah, well, I got bit. I got bit while I was surfing. That's what happened to my leg.
Oh.
Hi-yo. And then I just kept hanging five.
Yeah. And then you could take that into a whole, because what's next, chunk? You could go into a sports chunk.
Which is bigger than a bit.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Do you ever eat those big chunkies? Those chunky, they were the squares.
It was just called a chunky candy bar, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I used to, yeah. Like around Halloween, I'd never spend my own money on them for some reason. Too many nuts. Maybe they're... Do they have chunks of almonds?
I bought a couple back in the day, I think. You know, just for wanting something different, you know. When, exploring candy bars, you know, because there's always a big variety. And
I
then
think
you,
all kids have bought, like, at least one of every candy
yeah,
bar.
Yeah, what's that white one? The white, milk.
Look?
No, yeah,
remember the Look
maybe.
Bars? And then there was the big hunk.
And yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it was stretchy, dude.
It was strong.
Like, you could, it was like Stretch Armstrong. You could probably mold a doll out of that.
That
like,
would be fun.
Dude, we were driving downtown Albany the other
candy
day.
Dolls.
Maybe last night. We went to BoMax. Big shout out to our favorite barbecue spot down there on First Street. And there's a place right on, I think it's on Lion. I ain't lying. And
one of the overpass streets, right?
Yeah. And it's before we turned on 2nd. So between 3rd and 2nd on Lion or Ellsworth, whichever way one's going towards Corvallis, there's this, you know, department store, old school something with big bay windows. And there's all these human-sized figures of, like, Hulk Hogan was, like, standing right there. And they weren't, like, cardboard cutouts. They were, like, full,
mannequin,
either mannequins or wax figures. I'm not too sure. All right.
I think they've always had, like, things... like people looking out the window and stuff over there, or like maybe even like painted wood carvings or something.
Yeah,
just
that could be
like cool figures in the window
I've
of
never
a busy
seen
street.
It. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, I think I've seen something down there before, but not
it just caught
anything
my eye.
Like
Hulk
that,
Hogan was like, "Come on, brother!"
I've never seen Hulk Hogan or anything like that. I vaguely remember like a Betty Boop type.
He was
of
all
something.
In his yellow and red, and he was all with his arms out to the side. All right, now we're seven.
Brother.
We're 7 minutes into this opus, and we've hit the second movement.
Ooh, opus! Nobody writes opuses. The last person
Mike
to write an opus,
Hans Jochumsen.
Yep.
We
yeah.
used to write opuses back in the day.
Well, wait a minute. Was
opicus
that before?
Epicus, we'd call it what?
Was that before Mr. Holland's opus came out, though?
Yeah, because I think that was like 96, right, Richard Dreyfuss?
Sounds about right.
He was a conductor. He was a maestro. I think he'd rather be called a maestro.
Wasn't he deaf or something?
Huh? No, I never watched that because his mustache creeped me out. Richard Dreyfuss with a mustache and his curly little bald Jew fro just weirds me out. Was he Jewish? I don't even know. Tom Cruise?
He's more...
Not
he
a
looks
Jew.
More brother of Emilio Estevez than Charlie Sheen does.
He looks nothing like his distant cousin, Julia.
I thought that was his daughter.
No, nope. We talked about that before.
I know.
And then I Googled it, and you did think it was his daughter, but it's not. It's not her.
We proved it otherwise.
It's not her daughter.
All right. Yeah, I remember that now.
I was supposed to be writing stuff down, but I didn't write anything down.
Did you know, speaking of candy, in Albuquerque they got candy meth now, since it's so popular there with the Breaking Bad.
Oh, it's blue. Yeah, I saw that. I think it already must have got pulled.
No, the city's all for it and everything. But how long before a kid gets shot, either by a cop who thinks that the kid has drugs, or by somebody wanting to steal his meth but not realizing it's only candy?
Exactly. What do you got there, little boy?
That's the good stuff. I want it now. You better hand it over. It's just candy. I don't believe you.
Especially on Halloween, people could be giving out... Mm-hmm. Walter White's fucking best meth in the world.
That would be classic.
But yeah, that's going to be...
Well, if that was given out as candy, realistically, you could sit there on a Halloween in a house and just dump meth into people's bags.
Yeah.
And they would never be able to put it on you.
Yeah, speaking of Halloween, before I forget this, a funny joke that my friend told at a comedy show the other night, and I'll clear it all up later. Just want to get this out there before I get it. He said he pissed a whole bunch of nerds off last Halloween by dressing his 6 and 8 year old boys up like Spock and Kirk, and then giving them lightsabers.
That would do it.
What the fuck? You can't mix those worlds. What's the matter with you?
Just throw a Frodo in there, and then you're busting big time.
But yeah, talking about the Blue Candy in Albuquerque, I've been trying to get caught up with Breaking Bad, which season premiered last night.
What do you think it tastes like? Is it just sugar?
I think it's sugary.
It's just like sugar, maybe...
sugary.
A blue
goodness.
Raspberry would be kind of cool, like the old icy flavor.
I'm sure that's just what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a blue, probably clearish, icy looking.
Yeah.
And
it
I'm
looks
sure that
like
if you
blue sugar,
if you cracked it up with a hammer like they do on Breaking Bad, it would probably turn into light
sugar,
blue white
powder. Yeah, sugar.
Fucking snort that shit.
Yeah, sugar would crack just like they show on the show, where it'd just be all chunks, you know.
Wonder if they could get a deal with them where they could use their candy in the show.
Hey, that might be how they do it, though, just as a prop master might just melt down sugar or something that, you know, has that consistency. I've never cooked meth, so I don't know the consistency of what it would look like when
you
pour it into...
Aren't you almost 40? You've never cooked meth.
I know. It's insane.
Where do you live? You grew up in Lebanon, too, right?
Yeah, I know.
Fuck, dude. After the show, I'm going to show Gatch...
At the trailer park, too.
I'm going to show Gatch how to cook meth. Because it's really easy. You can get the recipe off Breaking Bad. Yeah.
Walter White told me that.
Yep. Wilson Woodrow. Woody Woodpecker. It's right under his nose, Walt White. So, yeah, hope everybody enjoyed that watched last night. I don't know if you did or not, but...
I did. I'm wondering if Low Winter Sun is trying to be the new Wire. If they want to capitalize on the Wire.
Could be. What they're touting themselves as the new Breaking Bad.
Yeah, of course, of course. And
but isn't it about a cop that murdered somebody?
I don't think
or something?
They need to tout anything as the next Breaking Bad, because I think they have proven themselves to have more than just Breaking Bad as far as quality.
Yeah, they got a lot of good shows.
Shows, you know, even Mad Men, and you know, it's probably their most popular one, and I don't even watch that one.
Yeah, and they got some good comedy stuff too. They got the Marin thing, and they got comedy.
Oh, that on AMC.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's on IFC.
Oh.
I get those mixed up, too. And Comedy Bang Bang.
Because I was going to say, I'd watch Marin if it was on AMC.
You would?
Yeah, I don't get IFC.
Yeah. I don't
know. I flip through there sometimes, like when I have to scroll through it. I get a plethora of weird channels, and then at some point, the only thing that really has anything on is... History 2, which is way down in the 200s.
Ah.
And they'll have, you know, ancient aliens or something that, you know, I don't really have to pay attention to, and they'll play it 8 times in a row, and, they got a new series out on there, though, that's called Your Bleeped Up Brain. Have you heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Dude, that is fucking... The one that they showed this last weekend was about superstition. But this wasn't about superstition, but it's just how your brain works. And there was this thing that had a checkerboard kind of a thing, right? White and black.
Right.
And then this cylinder that was casting a shadow over this thing. And it had two squares. One that was like on the black, on the dark side, and one that was on the white. And totally looking at it. One looked darker, and one looked lighter. I mean, way... comparable difference.
Oh, is that like that brain game?
And then they're the same color.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that a while back. They had a show called Mind Games or something like that. Is that what it was?
No, this is called Your Bleeped Up Brain. It's new.
You told me already. Fuck, man.
They're 3 episodes in. They've done... matter how much you looked at it.
Oh, I know. The one I saw was looked like two shades of gray, and it looked like a old school cell phone that was unfolded, and there was two shapes that went to each other, and it looked like a dark gray and a light gray, and then they held them up. They did several things like that, and I can't remember all of them.
Even
right now.
After they show you, though, you still can't see it when they take away whatever it is that's
making
triggering.
It look exactly. It's like, whoa, they are the same.
And I think that was called Paradillus.
Phyllis Diller?
Something like
Paradillus.
That. Paradillus.
Paradillus.
Yeah. It's cool. It's about an hour long, and... it is very interesting. Yesterday or the other day when I watched it, I was blown away. There were several things that they showed that I just my mind was not able to overcome. History 2.
Oh,
H2.
H2O and yeah. W. I heard that they're pairing up with the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Are they?
Yeah, they're going to be called H2Own.
Oh.
That was stupid.
H2.
Speaking of stupid, over the weekend there, Friday, had
H2
a little,
Pone.
Had a comedy show down in Eugene, and that was lots of fun. Met some new people. I think I'd call them new fans because they came up to me after the show and said that they thought I was funny. Handed them some cards from the show. I go, "Do you guys listen to comedy podcasts?" And they're like, "No, but we should." And the other person's like, "Yeah, totally, all the time." And he's like, "You're super funny, man. I'll listen to it." So yeah, hope you're listening, Brendan Tate. He used to live in Seattle. He's down in Eugene now, and he's going to start trying to do as much stand-up as he can, trying to jump into the scene there. So that's cool. And Alex Elkin was the one that told that joke that I told earlier about the Star Trek and the Star Wars thing, and he did a hilarious headlining set of about, I don't know, he did about 35 minutes. I think I did 15, but it had a great turnout. It was a lot of fun. And then afterwards, they had an open mic. And right around the corner, less than one block away, another comedy showcase at Cornucopia. So, like, as far as I could tell, Eugene is blowing up. They had Noriko Ott and, blowing up with comedy.
You got to be careful what you say these days.
I know. Bomb what? No, blowing up with comedy and laughs. Noriko Ott and Andy Main, both down from Portland for that showcase at Cornucopia. And then around the corner was me and Alex Elkin and some other folks. It's good times, though. I was hoping to see our friend, Chris Castles. He still hasn't moved. He said he's moving in about 3 weeks because I texted him and said, "Hey, dude, want to catch up with you before you take off? And are you ever going to edit and post that video? Man, I sacrificed my leg for that." And just nothing. And he's like, "Oh, dude, sorry, buddy." He's like, "You're going to have to wait because none of my editing stuff is set up right now because I'm getting ready to move." So he goes, "But just think how good it'll be once it finally comes out." So there's a
glimmer
of hope.
I know, it'll be all new to us.
Yeah, so a glimmer of hope. Maybe 3-4 months down the line, we might see grilling with Terry and Gatch. But we'll see what happens. So I guess they'll be moving at the end of August. But
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And other than that,
I like how, is Seth still putting on shows down there?
Yeah, he's done doing the Oak Street thing because we talked about that, Mac, and she knows what a podcast is and banning people from the place and just kind of being a stuck-up bitch in general. And then I heard rumors this weekend that she might not be doing that well business-wise there and might be getting ready to sell it. And
it's probably tough for a lot of people, especially in businesses that rely on people to have expendable income.
Yeah, and I'm sure it happens with every business, but especially when you have a business where the owner pisses people off and they tell their friends not to go there. And I don't know if, summertime kills comedy, and actually some shows, people don't go out as much because they're at the river having fun, or they've had fun all day and they're tired and they want to go home to the air-conditioned house. You know, summer does kill a little bit of entertainment. I was stoked to see a great turnout at the Monteith River Park's final installment of River Rhythms for this year, Fog Hat. We went down and checked out Fog Hat. We took
Did you
Dan
get your fog hat on?
No, but they had trucker caps that just said fog.
Huh.
The fog hat. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a hat that said fog.
That's nice. That's kind of like when Jim was Bookface.
Yeah. Yeah, Bookface. That was a good one. But yeah, I was kind of, always check out the bands. I always do, like, on Wikipedia or whatever to see what their current status is, because I knew that Lonesome Dave Pervert or whatever his name. It just sounds like it looks like Pervert.
Mm-hmm.
He's not with us anymore. I knew he passed away years ago. I knew another guy passed away. Only original member was the drummer, but check this out. Original. He's been playing drums for Foghat for 42 fucking years.
Wow.
And he was like 65. He did a drum solo. He was doing double bass and shit. He did like a 5 or 6 minute drum solo. He's like,
have you been telling Pat that every day since?
No, but I'm gonna start telling him every day since that day. I'll tell him fucking however many days.
42 years, he's still playing double bass.
And Pat's only 45.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we'll be wishing you a happy birthday. So, you like to check out, who is Foghat now? Mm-hmm. Is it just some dudes? Fucking hell no. Lead
slow
singer,
riding it.
Lead singer, guitarist, spent 6 years with Ted Nugent from Free For All up past Weekend Warriors, pretty much the heyday, right after Double Live Gonzo. He was the new Derek St. John's after Derek left the band. So he sang all the songs that Ted Nugent didn't sing. The other guy was the original member and guitarist for Play That Funky Music, White Boy Wild Cherry, and also spent several years in Molly Hatchet.
Did they play that song?
No. Well, they did when they were introducing the band. They just played it for like 20 seconds. They're like, all right, and this guy, I can't remember his name because I'm kind of a stoner.
Did you think
and
it was the Craig Kilborn show?
And he's all, not only... Yeah, it was just like that. He's all, not only did he play in Molly Hatchet, but he wrote that funky riff from Play That Funky Riff from Wild Cherry. And he's like, bow, 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 and they start playing that. And the guy goes, hey, bam. And then
Craig Kilborn came out.
Or, you know, Jimmy Fallon or whoever, you know, Dave Letterman. He's like,
Craig Kilborn, when he did, he used
that. Was
that
his song?
Yeah, he used it in the intro and it'd go, ow. And then he was, he introduced himself on his show. He would go, ladies and gentlemen.
Me.
Craig Kilborn. Oh, and then he'd walk out.
Oh, that's cool. You don't have to pay an announcer. Tonight on the show, we have this guy and that guy.
Yeah.
And a musical performance from that band. Mm-hmm. And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stunning.
Did you ever watch that clip when Queens was on there?
On Craig Kilborn?
Yeah.
Uh-uh. They look a lot alike, though.
I know.
They?
Yeah, he said...
he doesn't have a show name.
Well, when they were on the show, Josh... Hommy?
Yeah, Hommy.
He had a piece of tape on his shirt that said, I'm better looking. Or something like that.
He always likes to, like, write something on his arm or write something on a piece of tape. Or.
Uh-huh. And so, it was... I can't remember exactly. It's on YouTube, though.
Right on. And that was from back in the day when he had
the Craig CBS Kilborn show.
Huh.
The late show.
And what is he doing now?
Nothing. I saw him on, he was on Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Oh, that's right. Well,
he was always one, I liked his show when he had it on CBS. It was real fresh and he had a good interview style, I thought. And he played a really strong, like, pretty boy jock. Pretty all boy. The ladies, you know, he played some funny skits.
Yeah. So here's a funny. I think it's funny. I want to know if you think this is funny. So Foghat, haha, Foghat. They're playing right. They play a good 45, maybe 55 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Without playing Slow Ride, and then they say, thank you, good night, and
Fool
walk
for the
off
City?
Oh, they had played Fool for the City. They had not played...
Did they mention Albany in that song?
No. Well, they mentioned it during the... He's like, you know, I'm from Michigan, but I was born in Portland, Oregon. And I've always been a fool for the city. He was talking to Albany, but he didn't mention it in the song. He was a good front man, but he was like one of those old guys that like acts, he looks young, but I know he's probably at least 50, 55.
Oh, certainly.
Bleach blonde hair, tight pants, rock moves from hell, always fucking pointing and shooting at the audience and stuff like that, and running out with his wireless and fucking pointing his guitar at people and fucking nailing it. But I just thought it's funny because their two biggest hit, I Just Want to Make Love to You and Slow Ride. And Sweet Home Chicago is pretty big, too, but I kind of forgot about that because it's a cover. But so they're like, they even do the thing where they lined up and bow, good night.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, they haven't played fucking Slow Ride. People are getting up and leaving.
What?
People who have been there too long, and maybe they didn't know the Foghat had a bigger
They're hit. Just there for rhythms.
Yeah, I guess. And we're like, dude, so we snagged some better spots. So then they're only off for like 3 minutes. You hear people yelling, you guys ain't going home till you play Slow Ride. And then it's all Foghat, Foghat. It was a pretty good crowd. I was kind of surprised.
Maybe they knew that by, you know, I mean.
So then they come back.
Slow Ride.
And you think
they're
going to come back and do Slow Ride. Well, mm-hmm. they do Sweet Home Chicago. And then they do I Just Want to Make Love to You. And then they do Slow Ride. So they save their biggest three hits for the end, which is what bands do. But it's just funny when you know. They're gonna play those three songs, if nothing else, you know.
Why wouldn't you change it to Sweet Home Oregano?
Oh yeah, huh? Yeah. People were saying, yeah, I don't know, but everybody was singing with them in Sweet Home Chicago
or Sweet Home Albino.
One and one is two, two and two is four. something, baby, and I love you so more.
Yeah, it's
sweet home Chicago, yeah. Oregano, oregano, mm-hmm. sweet good oregano, mm-hmm. yum. No, but it was a good show, and we got to snag a spot in front of some people after we didn't have a very good spot because these other people left, and so that was kind of cool. And everyone just sat down until Slow Ride, and then everyone, stood up and stormed the stage. And I didn't realize this, but he announced that, all right, I see a lot of young faces out there, and I see a lot of older folks, too. So this song's for both of you, because I don't know if you know this, but this was the first song ever released on Rock Band. Like, when you first bought Rock Band, the first song was Slow Ride.
Ah.
Are you ready to take a slow ride? And then, everybody just got up and stormed the stage.
Wow.
It was fun, though. It was pretty cool. We just stood back, and so everybody didn't, but everybody that was up front did. And it was cool. I saw Jeff Simpson, but he didn't see me, and he was walking way across the thing, so I didn't say hi to him. And
is there anybody playing hacky sack? Does that still go on down there, on the sides?
Yeah, but it was pretty full. We were down in the area trying to keep our seats or whatever. But yeah, there were some hacky sackers. There was lots of cops outside the park and lots of security guards inside the park. I thought it was cool. The name of the security company, I'm not sure what it stands for. But the letters are CYA, so it's funny because it's like security, and then on the front it says see ya. Like if you're going to be stupid, you're fucking out of here. See ya security. But it's like it stands for Continental Youth Association or.
Oh, wow.
I'm just making shit up.
Wow.
Correctional.
Maybe it's.
Yarn Appreciation.
Oh, nice, nice.
Do you have any collectible yarn?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any yarn. Well, I do, actually.
You want to buy some?
No. I got a yarn, one of those dolls that goes over like a bottle.
Yeah.
And, you know, you put the thing on, then it looks like a dog or something.
Yarny McYarnerson?
Yeah. And I got a yarn owl.
Shields and Yarnell. Remember those
All
guys?
Right. Shields and Yarn Owl?
You don't remember them?
No.
They were the people, they were like street performers, and they, if you ever get a chance, watch that movie called Busker.
Busker?
Yeah. It's like street performers. It's actually a good documentary. But they were on the Muppet Show and stuff when they were back in the day. They would come out with they were kind of mimes, but they would have clay on their face, and they would make all weird kind of faces and dance around, and the guy would
I might have seen them.
You probably did, and once you did, it might trigger the memory. But just remind me when you were talking about you had a yarn owl, but you said yarnell Shields and Yarnell.
Oh, it's Yarnell.
Yeah.
Oh,
one of the guys.
I thought you said yarn owl.
Shields and Yarnell.
No, I don't remember that.
There's a yarn owl guy. No, but he made his face kind of look like an owl one time, I think. Anyway, I don't know how I got onto that, but
I got a picture I want to show you, and people,
you folks at home are fucked.
No, they can go, and I looked up pareidolia baby photo. This is a great shroud of tourinfacts.com is where I'm at. But check out this picture. Can you see the baby?
I see Jesus.
Aha!
That's what I see. A big, oversized Jesus.
But do you see the baby?
Not yet. I can't see it yet. Is the guy holding it?
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's what I would imagine, but I still can't. All I see is Jesus' fucking head.
All right. Let me see. I'll show you where it is.
All right. That's fucking weird. I think that's a Photoshop.
You see it now? Take away that hair.
I can't see what his eye is. What is his eye supposed to be?
Let me see. It's a hat. She's wearing a bonnet. The baby is wearing a bonnet. You can barely see her face.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I see it now. And
now,
her arm.
Yeah, right. Now take your thumb away.
What's that thing? That's just some shit behind him? Some roughage? Yeah.
If you scroll over a little to the...
Yeah, that could be real or it could be fake.
Right, here's what it looks like in...
Jesus!
Colored.
Colored?
So it's just like green stuff in the background.
Oh, okay,
it's like,
but it still looks like Jesus with green hair.
Jesus had green hair.
Stone Jesus right there. Yeah. He smoked so much weed his fucking hair is coming out.
Yeah, and so if you watch History 2, they show that actually picture on quite a bit of the previews to the show, you know, which they show often during the week.
Huh.
Pareidolia.
Cool.
And my whole point about that was this might explain those the ghosts and stuff you see in pictures and people and, you know, that you see what you want to see in something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to convince your mind of otherwise, even when you know that the baby was in the picture, it still looked like Jesus.
Right. I've seen a weird picture of, like, a tree or a horse or one of the other. And if you're not looking at it right, you don't even see, or it looks like something and it's not. So I've seen a few pictures like that that are actually accidental. Someone took a picture of something and, whoa, if you look at it just right, that actually looks like a horse's head.
Yeah, your mind plays tricks on you, you know, and missing information is assumed, you know, subconsciously.
Yeah.
Visually and mentally, we fill in the blanks ourselves, and that is not always accurate.
Right. We do that with words, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you hear what you want to hear, and you don't know what someone's actually saying.
Certainly.
Yep, so I'm wondering what kind of names they're going to be getting for the next year of River Rhythms. It was their 30th year this year, and then Foreigner's coming to the Air and Art Fair, whatever it is, over there at the fairgrounds in Albany here.
Uh-huh.
On the 24th of August, Foreigner, and I believe that's a free show, too. Not too sure.
Do they got their working visas?
I think most of them are American. Like I found out, Foghat was a British band.
Mm-hmm.
From the UK. I never knew that.
But are they
British? The only British guy now is the original drummer.
Hmm.
The rest of the guys are from Florida.
So they're not really a British band anymore.
Not anymore.
Huh.
I always thought they were an American band like Grand Funk Railroad.
Yeah.
I hope they're from America. Cause they.
Wait a minute. Aren't they from Canada?
We're an American band.
I thought they were from Canada.
No, I don't know. You'll have to Google that shit. But anyway, speaking of all those fairs and stuff, I didn't get out to any carnivals yet this year. The state fair is still going to be coming up. And Carney's kind of did Carney's trip you out a little bit? You used to go to a lot of carnivals when you were a kid.
I always thought they were interesting people.
Like the Lebanon Strawberry Festival. They're always
go off with some stranger that looked suspicious.
I guess you're a little younger than me, but they were always blaring like Van Halen and Blue.
Certainly, they were always
with an 8-track player with a fucking portable 8-track player.
Yeah, but
something.
As a, almost younger, you know, you hear that rock and roll coming from their booth, you know.
They're playing Nazareth or Molly Hatchet.
Yeah, and so it's kind of cool, you know, to hang out in that area just because that's where the rock and roll is going on and, you know. You see their Black Hills gold rings or whatever and assume that they just like jewelry.
They busted these carnies in Sioux Falls, South Dakota just the other day. And the police intercepted a doll filled with 1.3 ounces of crack cocaine.
Wow.
They received a tip from where the carnival had been before. And there was a suspicious package on its way via FedEx, and they ended up getting a search warrant, and the package was found. The doll had the drugs inside. That's crazy. I wonder if they were going to be selling the crack at the carnival there.
Well, it might, you know, be for the other people they work with.
Huh.
You know, like, get a shipment. You know, you travel from town to town. You get a shipment where you're going to be, and that kind of covers everybody around. All the people addicted to crack that work with Carnival.
So the two people that picked up the package before it got intercepted were operating rides as employees of this Murphy Brothers Exposition of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were charged with felony drug possession and drug distribution, intent to distribute, and marijuana possession.
Hmm. Well,
So
you can tack that onto just about anybody.
They'll say, we will, yeah. If you get busted for big drugs, you probably got marijuana because it's a gateway. It's what got you in there in the first place. So they say, we'll see what happens to the boys in court. Whatever happens, it was a foolish move. The carnival does a great job policing themselves. We have a security briefing prior to opening, and we tell them all the rules. If they screw up, they go to jail, and they're not coming back to work for us. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, now that we got caught. I really shouldn't say that because I don't know anybody that works for that Murphy Brothers Exposition. But
Murphy Browns.
Murphy Browns Exposition of Tulsa, Oklahoma, specializing in crack dolls. You win by throwing little fucking darts at balloons.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Accidentally get the wrong doll. Like, Mommy, look what I got.
And then
dog rips it open. All of a sudden, it's like a pinata of crack.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
Pinata of crack. That dude, has to be the name of the episode.
Yep. And that is also, that's a short story right there.
It is. The pinata of crack. See, we take real stories, we embellish them, and make them into funny things that you guys will see someday. We don't know.
I've been trying to do a bit of writing. Last night I worked out a good chapter one.
I got those that you read me, or that you sent me. I don't know if that's the other one that you got for chapter one, but
I'm just starting different ideas and kind of brainstorming different ideas.
I wonder if that's how Stephen King's been co-writing some books with people lately, Joe Hill, and I read a couple of those. I'm reading one now called The Tall Grass, and it's fucking weird. And I can't tell who wrote what. I'm thinking it's a Stephen King book because that's what I like, and I don't know if they went chapter for chapter because that's what a lot of people do.
Certainly. Well, what I was thinking of is you write the chapter one, and then you hand it off to somebody to write the chapter two, and then you read that, and then you kind of go back and revise your chapter one and maybe add a little bit to chapter two, being kind of like, you go back through and you're filling in and adding more gaps into the thing and expanding it, while somebody's adding the fresh ideas with each chapter and stuff like that. I have 3 Stephen King books that were gifted to me a long while ago, and
two books.
Yeah. One was Everything's Eventual.
Dude, that is an awesome collection.
And I remember starting it, and I think I read a couple stories into it. Yeah. And 2 were with Peter Straub, The Talisman and The Talisman 2.
Yeah, I've never read those. I never got into the Dark Tower series and The Talisman. Yeah. But
is that what those are? That's the first
fantasy.
2 of the Dark Tower series?
I think so, or they're connected somehow. I've just never read any.
I know one's a prequel, one's a sequel. I just didn't know if those are the Dark Tower series.
Yeah, I think they're, or maybe The Gunslinger.
Ah.
I don't even know because maybe. I kind of like a more reality. It's not reality by far, but the fantasy sci-fi side of Stephen King. I just don't really like that genre, especially of reading, but still. Certainly. But yeah, Everything's Eventual has a great story in it that I was reading on a plane on the way to Reno, and the story...
1408.
Probably. I don't know, but it's a story about a dude falling asleep on a plane and having a dream about the plane crashing. Now, reading tends to make me fall asleep.
Yeah, certainly.
So I'm fighting to stay awake as I'm reading this story about a guy falling asleep on a plane. It was surreal, dude.
Well, that is how he came up with the story, and then he wrote it for people that would be in that exact situation.
I don't even know how that accidentally happened, because I was reading another story, and they were short enough to where on this flight I could read a few stories. And I had finished the one that I had started, and then I wasn't picking and choosing. I was just reading the book.
Certainly.
And all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of the story about this fucking horrific plane crash.
He wrote that story for you, though.
Fuck, I guess, man. I love you, Stephen.
He wrote that with the mind that I hope somebody someday is on a plane reading this story, trying to stay awake. That would be the ultimate creepiness of the story. I mean, not directly for you, but he in his mind, he was hoping somebody would have that experience.
And I guess that's probably longer flights.
So you fulfilled that for him.
I should write him a letter about that.
You should.
See if he says something about it. But yeah, I guess it's the longer flights that have the movies, because these flights didn't have movies. I flew from Eugene to San Francisco for a quick layover, and then from San Francisco to Reno, and no movies on either flight, but but I thought it'd be funny if they were showing a movie compared to me reading that story. Coming up today's feature, Samuel Jackson, Snakes on a Plane. Do you think they ever showed that movie on a plane?
It would be an entertaining movie to watch on a plane.
Yeah. Motherfucker! Hmm. I heard a comedian. There's been this new thing. Do you get AXS TV?
Does not ring a bell.
AXS TV. Hmm. And it's mostly concerts, music concerts. And now they've started Gotham City Comedy Live, which is a live, that claims to be live real-time, live comedy show from the Gotham City Comedy Club in New York. And there was, so they're recent, is what I'm saying, because most of the comedy you watch on TV has been filmed at least a month or more in advance. These guys were making jokes about whatever we were just talking about, but now I can't remember what
Stephen
we were
King.
Oh, Snakes on, Samuel Jackson, and they were talking about how, God, I wish I could remember, but he was saying how whoever is doing this one thing, which I can't remember, needs to be Samuel Jackson's character from Django. He was talking about Obama being in the office. You going to let a nigga sleep in the White House? We're going to have to burn the beds, man. And he went off and just doing that. You can't believe you're letting a nigga stay in the White House. It's like, what? He was a black guy, of course. So he could have been saying that. But I opened my set the other night at the Granary with my black pussy joke, which I've been doing at my non-clean sets, where I just, first thing I say before I say my name or anything, I say, my friend asked me the other day if I've ever seen black pussy. Me being a white boy from a small town in Oregon, I had to think about it and honestly answered, only on the internet? And he's like, no, it's a band from Portland. And before I even get that out, they're laughing. That played at the Wandering Goat a couple months ago. And in Eugene, that works well because they know what that is. And and I go, okay. And they all laughed at that. And I noticed there was a fairly large black gentleman in the audience with his white girlfriend. And so what I always say after that, yep, right out of the gate with a black pussy joke, I just want to remind you guys that I'm not a racist. I don't even like to drive fast. He's like, bullshit, that is totally racist. But he's got a smirk on his face. But he's a big black dude, so you don't know. And he's yelling in his big black boy voice. That's totally racist, man. And I was like, sir, no, it isn't. I told you, I don't even like to drive fast. And he's all, ha, ha, ha. I go, my brother, on the other hand, is a total fan of racism. So much so that I don't even like to hang out at his house anymore. Because all he ever does is watch NASCAR. So that I was not scared, but just, you never know when a black dude's going to pipe up and say, fuck bullshit, that is
whenever
racist.
Anybody gets offended. Well, like, I don't, you were saying an Irish joke, and then some Irish drunk guy was out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like being all ornery to you.
I was going to say, sir, and also I'm not racist because I only like black metal. Hi-o. I don't even like black metal, so I guess I am racist.
You know, a Grand Funk Railroad is from Flint, Michigan.
All right. That's close to Canada, though.
Yeah. Play on words of the Grand Trunk Railroad, the railroad that ran through there. And did you know that Bruce Kulick is playing with them?
From Kissed?
I assume that would be the one.
Nice, and his brother Bob Kulick.
It says Don Brewer, Max Schaefer, Mel Schaefer.
No Mark Farner?
A past member. Max Carl, Tim Cashion, and Bruce Kulick.
Dude, you can't have fucking Grand Funk Railroad without Mark Farner. That's like fucking CCR with no John Fogerty. He is the voice and the guitar. That's like
He hasn't been around since 98.
That's like Sullen without me.
Mark Farner was 69 to 76, 81 to 83, and then 96 to 98.
So, okay. Well, make up your mind, Mark. What the fuck? Are you just like wishy-washy? You don't hear that phrase nearly enough, wishy-washy. Yeah.
Max Carl's been lead vocals since 2000.
Well, I thought that Charlie Hune from the Ted Nugent Band and whatever other band. Oh, he was in Humble Pie before that. Yeah. He did a wonderful job of singing like the dude from Foghat. I thought that it sounded pretty authentic and it was pretty good.
Bruce Kulick since 2000 has been there in the guitars.
Wow. Isn't he cool, Lick? He kind of downgraded, though. I was in Kiss, but now I play for Grand Funk Railroad.
Max Carl, their current lead singer, has been with Molly Hatchet, Rod Stewart, Tommy Boy.
All
Band,
the bands that are reformed to have a dude
Bonnie
from Molly
Raitt,
Hatchet.
Don
What's
Henley
the deal with that.
And Kenny then like Loggins, the 38 special,
the
Richard
opening,
Marks.
Stop it. The opening band for Foghat was from Portland. They had their credentials where they had recently opened for Pat Travers and Molly Hatchet. Everything
wow.
was fucking. So when's Molly Hatchet? They played at the fucking Buzzsaw. Remember that? Molly Hatchet at the Buzzsaw.
Huh.
I wonder if that dude that was just at the thing, Foghat, played at the Buzzsaw.
Wow.
I love Albany.
Yeah.
These are awesome.
Right on I-5 and on the train tracks.
Yep. We need a new venue.
Max Carl was...
two first names.
A keyboardist and lead singer for 38 Special for several years.
What?
Whom co-wrote and sang lead on the hit song Second Chance. You remember that song?
My parents-in-law just saw 38 Special down in Eugene.
Huh.
At the Crack Carnival.
Hmm.
At the Crack Pinata Convention.
You know, it's always strange to me that... 38 Special. I always think of Saturday Night Special by Lynyrd Skynyrd whenever I...
Everything's fucking connected somehow.
I know.
38
and then
Special.
Those guys are like, they were brothers, right? That were singers.
And they were both bands from the same area that both had too many members. So they said, we'll just have two drummers. We don't really... We're not doing anything outrageous, but let's just have... It's 38
Special.
That was
probably after they already split in from Lynyrd Skynyrd and 38 Special because there's...
four drummers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that 38 Special still has two drummers. Now, if anyone that's listening is not familiar with 38 Special, listen to some of their old stuff because...
All right.
They don't need two drummers.
They're from Jacksonville, Florida.
So, yeah. So is Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. The guy from Blackfoot, who is now the guitarist for Lynyrd Skynyrd, used to play the drums back in like 1970 before they just went to a one drum band because Lynyrd Skynyrd was never popular when they were a two drummer band.
Huh.
But like some bands like the Grateful Dead, I don't get it. Why would Genesis need two drummers? We were talking about Pat Wambacher the other day and how awesome of a drummer is and how he should come back and play and because Jared had stopped by. And hope you're listening, Jared, now that I hooked you up with a TuneIn app so you can listen to our show while you're working, you little fucker. And I told the story of how our friend Dennis, who is a fan of the show as well from Mexico, I think he's in Utah right now, but anyway.
Welcome.
He saw Pat Wambacher back in the day, and he was so impressed with him, he told him, you know what, I've seen some badass drummers in my day. He's like, you're better than Phil Collins. And he was dead serious. He said, Phil Collins was the best drummer ever, and Pat Wambacher was number two.
Ba-doop, doop, 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 doop.
Yeah. So we were talking about this all-star jam that we saw on TV one time that had, like, Eric Clapton and, like, just everybody you could think of and Phil Collins. And then they're all introducing, and they're like, Eric Clapton, and he does a solo. And then, like,
Ricardo Montalban.
Jack Bruce, Carlos Santana, all these fucking super famous icons of rock. And they're like, Phil Collins on the drums. And he pulls out the your fucking football team just made a touchdown at the pep rally. And that was his whole solo, dude. He didn't even, like... She's an easy lover. Phil Collins, best drummer in the world.
Do you think so? Do you think?
No.
I mean, even...
No.
Like, do you...
He's not... He's a way better... He's not... I don't like his singing that well, but he's a way better singer than he is a drummer, I think.
What about his technical chops? Is he maybe just a really technical... Because that sounds really tight... I mean, those roles were really tight, like, things.
Yeah, you got that, and then you got the... I don't
but,
care,
you know, it's no, but it's
I don't care, and that's all.
He, I did like a lot of his songs in the early 80s growing up and stuff, like the Susu Studio and stuff. They were catchy songs that he sang on.
Yeah.
You know?
Most of those at that era, though, he'd gotten into what it sounded like using drum machine.
They were very poppy.
Susu Studio.
They were very,
what the fuck
you
does
know,
that mean?
Yeah.
What is a
And what was that one... It's just the same, that's all, or whatever. That's all, y'all.
It's all. That's all. It was a Genesis. That was on the same album as, like, Man on the Corner. A lot of big hits. Mama. Remember Mama?
Mm-mm. Mama.
Don't let your babies grow up to be Phil Collins. I've been watching some Trailer Park
Boys. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, catching up into season 7 there where they snuck all the weed across the border on a powered remote control train that used to belong to Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
The Swayze Express. Leahy was going off the rails on the Swayze train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the liquor was doing the talking. Lucy tried to make Randy marry her because she's pregnant with his baby. Ricky can't believe that Randy's going to be the father of him and Lucy's baby. But really, it's not him and Lucy's because it's Randy's. But that's how Ricky thinks. Yeah. But I almost got through, fell asleep last night watching like the second to last, the penultimate episode of season 7.
Yeah. That reminds me of that your bleeped up brain thing again.
Uh-huh.
Of, you know, like you're talking Ricky believing that even though not reality or
right.
whatever.
I can't believe he's going to be the father of her nice
There
baby.
Was a guy way back in the day who came up with a recipe for mice.
To make a mouse?
Yeah.
You could grow an ear on a mouse.
Nope. He had a recipe for mice, and this was his recipe. Take a small little bowl, right? Put soiled underpants in there and a few pieces of wheat, right? Cover it, put it in the corner, and in 6 weeks you have a full-grown mouse in there.
I don't believe that. Did you try it?
Yeah. I didn't try it. The guy back in the day, like whenever this happened hundreds of years ago.
That sounds like more of a recipe for attracting a full-grown mouse.
Exactly. Okay. But he didn't watch the interaction between.
Oh.
All he knew is he put this in the corner, he came back, there's a full-grown mouse. So he thought he had a recipe.
I can't
for
believe that Randy's
going
to be the baby's dad of me and Lucy's baby. Yeah, that's fucking funny.
And yeah, I think there was probably a lot of things that went on back in the day like that were unexplained.
Yeah.
You know, but the guy's main thing, though, that his fault was that he believed in spontaneous creation. That he believed that things just were created, not that, you know, there was...
Did he believe that he could, like, come in a jar and then have his wife squirt in there and then just let it set overnight and there'd be a baby?
No, I think he thought in, like, Immaculate Conception, probably.
Ooh.
That babies just appeared.
Yeah. You just put some toys in the
spontaneously
corner.
Spontaneously, babies just appeared.
Put some toys and some formula in the corner. 2 days later, there's
a full-grown
baby.
He probably
tried it. He's like,
he used the soiled
underwear. You have to have neighbors that are not very good parents, though. If you leave food out and babies appear, that means that they're... today, I don't know, speaking of kids and stuff, I don't know if you have any siblings, but I guess now that I think about it, I have a stepsister who's younger than me, and my dad married her mom,
mm-hmm.
and I have an older brother, so technically I am a middle child. Today's National Middle Child Day.
Oh, nice.
It's my day!
Right on.
You guys get me something? What'd you get me? Hey, you know what you could get us? Just a dollar. We'll talk about that later. I need to finish up with this little area here.
On the other hand, missing two fingers.
On the other hand, Jerry Garcia died a couple of days ago, some years ago. It was the anniversary of his death. And on the other hand, he only had four fingers.
Did he?
Yeah, he was missing. No, he was missing his flip-off finger on his right hand. If you check out any pictures of him playing.
Oh, okay.
Like, so he'd hold the pick, so it was all good.
Yeah, I've never really watched them play.
He's got a right before the first big knuckle.
Hmm.
Just a little stumpy.
Tony Iommi had nothing on him.
No. Yeah, except the other hand. Maybe that's why he was left-handed.
Maybe.
But anyway, I remember this funny thing. We were talking about the Jerky Boys not too long ago. And Pat Wambacher's brother, Dan, had a tape. That I don't know what it was from, but it was a prank phone call. And it was a guy calling a guy, and he was saying, is Amanda there? And she's all, no. And he's like, oh, you think I could leave a message for her? Because she gave me her phone number, and maybe we could get together and have a few drinks. And he's like, who is this? And he's like, it's Mark. He's like, Mark who? He's like, it's Mark Knopfler. And the guy goes, Mark Knopfler? And he didn't know who Mark Knopfler was. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, pay attention, buddy. It's Mark Knopfler. That's what I said. And he's like, well, who are you? Because Amanda's my wife. And he goes, whoa, buddy, whoa. She never said nothing about having a husband. She just gave me this number and said maybe we could hang out and have a few drinks. And he goes, she's pregnant with my baby. And he's like, oh, wait a minute, buddy. I don't want to fuck that fat pregnant bitch. And then the guy's all pissed. He's like, I'll fucking fight you. What's your name again? He's like, it's Mark Knopfler. Fucking pay attention, you idiot. And he's like, I'll meet you at McDonald's right now. And the guy gets pissed. And so the segue to that is, happy birthday, Mark Knopfler. You're a funny guy. You should call more people and pretend to want to date their fucking pregnant wife.
That's funny.
That guy got so pissed. He's all, I'll fucking kick your ass, man. What McDonald's? I'll meet you right 15 minutes, man. Which McDonald's? He's like, the one on the south side of town. He's like, all right. He's like, you're seriously going to kick my ass because of this? He's like, have you ever heard of a fucking prank, you idiot? And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, it's a prank phone call. He goes, I don't fucking know your fat pregnant wife. And he's all, don't you talk about my wife like that. And he's like, fucking calm down. He goes, it's a joke, man. He goes, you know what you do? You say, ah, you got me. He's like, I'm going to fucking kick your ass, dude. That's not funny. And then there was this other one on there where someone made a song out of it, like a rap song. Because mm-hmm. The guy was like, what are you trying to do, blackmail me? You never heard that back in the day? Dan had a tape, and it made the rounds back in the early to mid-90s.
That sounds like a precursor to what goes on. It was popular now.
Yeah. Right? Crank yankers or like a
or where they auto tune all
But they didn't have that technology.
Certainly, but the same, you make a song out of it to make it. You know?
And the singing
without auto tune. That was before auto tune.
Yeah.
Fuck off, why they got to be using that shit?
And it was before Jerky Boys and it was before Crank Yankers. And I would like to find out who that was. But anyway, happy birthday to Mark Knopfler. How old do you think old Mark Dire Straits? He's in trouble. He's still in Dire Straits.
Still one of my favorite jokes.
He was on solo for a while. He was doing better. He got out of Dire Straits.
Yeah, I saw him do a master class. I don't know if they do that on OPB.
He's always
or whatever.
Old.
But where he was showing some of his things. Very well known for not using a pick.
He's a finger picker.
Yeah, I don't know if exclusively. I mean, I'm sure there was times when he went, you know, I just have to use pick to get the sound that I want.
Most of the time.
Actually, no, because that's, you know, he didn't.
A lot of times he would use the finger picks that go on your, the picks mm-hmm. that slip over your fingertips. And that mm-hmm. way, if you can't grow your nails out,
yeah, certainly.
You just pickety pick, pick, pick. But yeah, how old do you think old Dire is?
One of my first tapes in 1984 when I first got my silver Ghetto Blaster. They were already quite popular as far back as, I would say, at least 1978. They were
Sultan's a Swing.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yep. And The Tunnel of Love.
Yeah.
This was from Making Movies, one of my favorite vinyl albums that I actually
That is
had.
A great one. That is, yeah, that's the one with the Romeo and Juliet,
yep.
too, right?
And it's got Skate Away on it, which is about his roller derby queen or whatever, which is a weird little...
Dude, I think I had that album, and I would probably say...
He must have been what?
25 and 78 at the oldest.
Yeah.
So, because I would even... No, they weren't 73.
And that's
they
35.
They there.
35 and 25.
Jeez. I'm going to go 68.
Wow. That was a good guess in 64.
Wow.
He's ready to retire now.
Huh. Oh, so 55. When did they hit?
I think it was 78. Sultan's a Swing was their first big hit.
Wow.
And so that
But I mean, as far as like first albums, have they been playing for a while?
I think they had two albums before that had like minor AOR radio.
So they might have been around since like 74, 75?
Probably when they were getting their start, yeah. Wow. So he might have been... That was 40 years ago, and he's six. So yeah, he was early twenties when they got.
That would be interesting to see, like a documentary of the early days of Dire Straits and what was going on.
See what got him in trouble in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you come to be in Dire Straits?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I met Mark Knopfler, and everything went downhill from there. He was calling pregnant girls and getting people to fight him at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Also, birthday today, Seattle legend of the rap scene, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Buttermilk Biscuits.
Nice, dude.
What was that other song? Swass. I couldn't say it. Album, thank you. Yeah, Swass. We used to rock that in 1989 at the Coos Seed Farm out there on.
It was a solid rap album.
It was. And it had the goofy cowboy songs.
Yeah, it had some fun rappers, and it was just fun stuff. That's what I liked about it.
Quite a bit different than what broke him.
Hip-hop soldier.
What broke him was quite a bit different. The baby got back.
It was such a shame when that was what broke him. I always thought, because there was that whole other album was. There wasn't a song as bad as that on there, I don't think.
And that was the hit.
Yeah, and I was like, man, same thing with Cherry Pop and Daddies. I always thought that the song that broke them was kind of a shame that it was the Zoot Suit Riot, because I thought there were so many songs prior to... Well, those guys, it was just hard to pin down to one style anyway.
For sure. But yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot... He would be doing the skit that's made famous by Mary Catherine Gallagher on Saturday Night Live.
Nice. I'm 50.
Nice.
Sir Mix-a-Lot 50 today.
That's
also,
awesome. He's had a successful career, though, and I'm glad for that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He did some stuff with Pussa, too, didn't he? Presidents of the United States?
Yeah, and I think he did it a little bit, not on record, but he was on the same label as The Accused for a short period of time.
Very Seattle proud.
Yeah, for sure. He likes his homegrown stuff. And speaking of homegrown stuff, a local semi-celebrity in my book who used to live in Seattle for a while, but he's back in Oregon, birthday today, Jeff Ed to Shred Gilbert.
Hey, happy birthday, Ed.
Ed to Shred. Hope you're listening. Probably aren't, but that's cool if you are.
People should go and check out Ed to Shred if they don't know.
He plays
around.
Check out
some videos.
He is a definite shredder.
He won Dean Shredder, right?
Yeah, and he's endorsed. Yeah, and he has guitars made by Dean that are like Ed guitars that are his yellow and black polka-dotted trademark. They flew him and our good old buddy Jason Moser, who's his resident bass player, when they play live. Sometimes he just brings backing tracks and just does solos over it because that's what
he
does.
They got their chemistry.
Moser and the drummer actually got flown out to Florida for a showcase out there, and they got flown out to...
I bet they saw some weird shit down there.
Chicago. Oh, yeah. We'll get to Crazy Floridians on Wednesday. I think we've ran out of time today, but yeah. Ed to Shred. He used to be called Frogger because as a youngster, he used to like to play that game all the time. And most people didn't even know his name was Jeff. He was always Frogger. And now he's Ed. And nobody really knows his name is. And he doesn't look anything like Frogger. And the people who knew Frogger back in the day, I'd tell them, check out Ed to Shred. And they're like, oh, that guy's awesome. It's like, remember Jeff Gilbert? Frogger? And they're like, holy fuck! After they like see the face and make the connection because he's like all bow tie, glasses, nerded up,
certainly.
Short hair. It's
he's personified.
Image, for sure. He's an alien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's our birthdays for today. Happy birthday to Ed Shred, Sir Mix-a-Lot, and Mark Knopfler. That'd be a great band to get together.
It would be.
You could have Sir Mix-a-Lot rapping over Mark Knopfler's finger picking while that other guy.
You know what's funny about that prank thing is I saw Simpsons the other day. Sometimes I just randomly watch them.
Right.
And Mo, something came up about prank phone calls, and Bart was there, and Mo was there, and it was something, and Mo's like, boy, I wish somebody would sure prank me some phone calls. I have a good sense of humor. Why doesn't anybody ever do that for me?
Amanda. Is Amanda Hug and Kiss there?
I need a man to hug and kiss.
Why, you little...
I will gonna kill you.
Yeah. You watch The Simpsons, Hans? Do you, buddy?
I do really only, like, as it precedes The Office back-to-back late night on KPDX.
Yeah, I never watched near enough Simpsons after about the 10th season, but...
Yeah. Always something
cool. Do you like to watch The Simpsons, Hans? He's a player. Hi, Hans. How you doing, buddy? Today, I thought it was Monday. It is. And I thought that he would be stumping me, but he's not. He's listening to a classic today. Classic from across the seas.
All right. I'm going to guess.
Let me give you a year. 1980.
All right.
Heavy metal.
It's got to be Maiden.
It's got to be the other one.
Priest.
Yes, but what album came out in 1980?
That would be the Screaming for Vengeance.
Ooh, that was so close.
Two British Steel.
Yes, second guess counts. He's rocking out to Breaking the Law, Metal Gods. A lot of anthems.
Jaw, breaking your jaw.
Yeah, I'll kick your ass, bitch.
Breaking the Law. Did that song make Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, pretty much. When they were torturing that frog or that butterfly that one time or whatever it was, he's like, breaking the law. They said it a lot of times. That video is so funny, though. I don't know if you've ever seen the original video. They're riding around a white convertible. Mm. Their hair's all flying in the wind. And
it is.
It's all wasted.
Like Dune red, too, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's fucking weird film, like with weird, almost fake-looking backgrounds and stuff.
It's like a super low budget sci-fi. Mad Max probably right around that time?
Maybe.
You know, maybe that kind of maybe that Mad Max was later.
Yeah, it might have been.
A Road Warrior.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. I'm going to have to rewatch it now. I just thought it was them cruising around while Rob Halford sang a song.
I think it is.
He's just talking about gay marriage. What's on Terry's turntable? I broke out the double gatefold album of Midian's Age Eternal, their only release. And man, is that good. I tuned my acoustic guitar down to A, which sent its system into a little bit of shock. It didn't really know how to stay in tune being tuned so low. But trying to fumble through some of those songs and relearn them because I'd learned them back in the day just out of pure love of the riff, you know. And good stuff. Love that album.
When you listen to a song such as a Yob song and you're learning it by ear.
Yes.
You're learning it real time. Are you just going through and like every riff and then you stop it and then you just
sometimes
know it?
A lot of those Yob songs, they do the riff for long enough, like 2 or 4 or 8 or 16 times, to where by the time they've played that riff that many times, I can kind of learn. A lot of times I'll go through 2 riffs, and when you're listening to a record, you can't rewind. So I'm sitting down, I listen to go through the first 2 riffs, which could be 8 minutes with Midian or Yob, and then I'd just go back and start it over and play it like I kind of knew it better. And some of his stuff, far reaching with the fingers, and he does weird chords, and he does this thing where he lets some open strings ring out, and it's just weird. And it's weird being tuned to A. Like you play E minor regular chord in A. It's fucking weird.
That's some good tips, though, about learning by ear, though.
I think so. Listen to a riff or two.
Yeah, especially maybe just to get your ear trained to learning how to pick up on stuff. Maybe some of that doom stoner stuff is what you might want
to. Yeah, because it's slower and it's more repetitive and you have more time to learn the riffs. Like, we're trying to relearn all those old Victim songs. Well, not all of them, but a lot of hard ones with Robert and Mike. And that's like you just play like 10 seconds and then you have to stop. Even though I wrote a lot of the riffs, I haven't played them for a long time, so I kind of have to relearn them myself. But that's still coming along. He likes to come over every day and practice for just a couple hours. And he drives like 900 miles
a day. That's dedication, man.
He drives like 900 miles a day sometimes because he's a delivery driver. So he gets up at 2:30 in the morning, drives to like noon, and then want to jam at noon? Oh, maybe not today. I don't know. I'm just getting up or whatever. And I can come back at like 7. I got some more couple hours of deliveries to do.
Back around.
And then he's like, I don't even care. He goes, I'll just come over there, and if you guys aren't there, I'll just drive back. So it's like, okay, and like this day, are you going to have Grief Hammer practice? Yeah. Well, I've been wanting to meet Hans.
Probably driving's just the same as just sitting on the couch doing
it. Yeah, yeah. He's just...
If he's driving 900 miles a day.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's a lot of driving.
It is.
Driving and Crying. Remember that band, Driving and Crying?
Ron and I would always make fun of that don't be crying while you're driving.
They had a hit song that was on like Z-Rock and Hard Rock Radio.
They would play it on the Noon Rockography sometimes, wouldn't they? Because I think that's why Ron and I would bring it up. Or maybe it was just always funny to us.
Maybe I'll play some Driving and Crying for the intro of the Wednesday episode, because now it's got me thinking. Who the fuck's driving and crying?
I would like to...
And why are they so sad?
I would leave some thoughts for the listeners as we leave. And,
me too.
If volcanoes are so dangerous and deadly...
Sharknado. Sharkano.
Why do they allow them into the school science fairs?
Those ones aren't that bad. But yeah, you're actually teaching someone how to create one on a small scale. Why can't they just like quintuple the recipe and make a fucking, you know, we're talking about the Joe Rogan questions everything, how the government is creating earthquakes and whatnot. Do we need the government to know how to fucking make a volcano? Good point. Good point. Science to you. Boom. Bammo. You know how much you learn by listening to this show? It's amazing. I'm sitting here, with my fingers crossed like I'm praying just because I'm contemplating how fucking awesome this show is and how much you guys learn from it. I'm not trying to be narcissistic or egotistical either. I'm just being factual, reality-based, which is what we are. And on that note, we need your help, you guys. Like I told you a week or so ago or a month ago, I don't know, time flies when you're podcasting three times a week. We've lost our main and only cash sponsor, and our dues are coming up, and we're, like, broke. So, I know this is one thing that I know as a fact from the statistics. Whether you're listening to the whole episodes or downloading it or whatever you're doing, we got at least about 30 to 50 listeners that will at least at the bare minimum that will listen to almost every episode. If just $1 from each of you listeners, just out of the whole month,
That would cover. Be fantastic.
We got a goal of $50. We're trying to reach before September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple, 2-3 weeks.
Yep.
And we're going to count on
we
you.
We just need a little help through this time until we find.
And I'm going to be doing some scouting for some sponsors as well. I talked to some people in Eugene unfruitfully, but at least that was one try or two tries out of the way to where when you come to 10, you get one because that's the odds, you know. You might get slapped in the face 9 times, but that 10th time is magic when they said, sure, I'll give you $50 a month. Dude, you guys are awesome. And we don't want $50 a month from one person. You could send it to our PayPal by going to tagcastpodcast.com, which is our website.
You could click on the Amazon link and just shop as normal.
That helps us, too. If you want to just buy yourself something, it'll kick us some pennies, which will add up. Yeah. It'll help towards our goal. Or if you have an extra dollar after doing your shopping in your PayPal.
We get a few dollars a month off of that.
Just give us a buck from your PayPal. And if you don't have a PayPal and you don't like computers and you, well, how are you listening to our show? On your smartphone, right? Right. All you got to do is get an envelope and a stamp, put a $1 bill in it, and send it to P.O. Box 12, Brownsville, Oregon, 97327. And that will come directly to me. And I will give it to Dustin, and we'll forward it to, we'll pay it forward by doing extra good shows for you guys. So that's our campaign for now. That's our campaign. We're campaigning for $50. Not to get an eighth of weed. Promise. Because we've got plenty of that. You could probably hear us smoking it in the background.
I hate polio, man. It's always just a bunch of rich kids riding around on horses.
And they end up always getting their hip hurt, and then they walk funny.
Yeah.
I was like, people used to ask me as a child, he goes, did you used to play polio as a child?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I don't even know what that is. They're like, you get in a horse, you get inside a horse, and you swim around in the water, and you beat people with sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, actually, I was bit by a shark when I was hanging five. And, polio is a dangerous game.
Yeah. And so is water polo. Polio.
Well, that's what I used to play. Yeah, they thought I used to play water polio.
Horses can't swim.
Yeah, if they have the polio stick, though, they do. The polio stick floats. You ever play Marco Polio? That's when your best friend can't walk very good, and you hide from him and say, Marco, and he's like, I've got polio. Yeah, I don't know. People used to ask me if I had polio a lot when I was a kid. Did you have polio when you were younger? It'll fuck your hip up and make you walk funny or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you're pre-polio shots. Like everybody's got a polio vaccine because you get a shot and then you never want to ride a horse on the water again. Okay, that's enough nonsense. Let's get the fuck out of here. You guys, thanks for listening on a Monday. It was a mellow Monday. Got a little bit crazy there for a while. I laughed, though. Stick around after the show. We got plugs coming up. I got about 4 or 5 more comedy shows coming up this month in the area, causing all sorts of malaria. Come back on Wednesday. We'll take care of you. And if you listen, and you'll notice we're not in Hysteria. But don't listen to the Def Leppard album Hysteria. And if you use too big of a dildo, it just might tear you. I'm busting a freestyle right now.
I'm digging it.
New song.
Wick, wick.
Oh, shit. I haven't written our new theme song.
Wick, wick. I wrote some lyrics. Did you get those for some new Hans?
I did, and I got a keyboard now. Got some batteries for my Casio.
Right on.
I think I'm going to write a song akin to this. That's just a happy-go-lucky keyboard. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday. Hump on.
Rock on.
Earplugs, butt plugs, bung plugs, show plugs. And here we go, plugs.
Hey, all you taggots. How you doing out there? It's me, Terry, from that show you just listened to, the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. You know that one? I'm going to give you some ideas of what to do with your nighttime activity action. Sometimes it might be in the early evening. Who knows what? I know what. I'm going to tell you. Actually, tomorrow night will be in the early evening, Saturday, at Sambon's Garage, 4th and Blair in Eugene, in the Whitaker District. Bleepin' Funny with your hostess, Leanne Joshua. There'll be a comedy improv troupe as well as stand-up for myself and many others. And before I get any further, don't forget, every Friday for just a few more weeks, Comedy at the Baghdad with Tristan Spillman. It's going to be canceled very soon, unfortunately, after almost 7 years. But he has a new venue. He's going to keep it going on Fridays, I think, up in Vancouver, which is just basically Portland. So stay tuned for news on that. Also, every second Friday, Pantsless Comedy with Mike McGowan, your host, at Cornucopia. That's 5th and Pearl in Eugene. Let's see, Sunday night, August 18th, it's the Down and Dirty Comedy Showcase with your host, Patrick Perkins. It's a dark comedy showcase at the Ash Street Saloon. $5 suggested donation this month, featuring Whitney Streed, Scott Von Wald, Matt Steiner, Luke Knapp, and Tim Elliott, as well as Pat Perkins himself, doing some of his self-deprecating material that he is so famous for. August 20th, it's the Summer Slaughter Tour. That's at the Roseland Theater with a bunch of loud, obnoxious bands like Dillinger Escape Plan, Norma Jean, Animals as Leaders, Cattle Decapitation, Revocation, and some other bands that end with Shun, probably. I don't know. Big lineup, big tour. Go check it out if you like that. And if that's not your stuff and you'd rather see a mellower band like Honky and the Melvins, that's the same night, so you have to make the choice to go to the Wonder Ballroom, also August 20th, the Melvins and Honky, for one night only in Portland. Let's see, August 24th, it's Black Sabbath at the Gorge without Bill Ward, because they don't want him to have a heart attack. I'm sure tickets are expensive, but hey, if you love Black Sabbath and you want to check them out, go do that. It's the day before my birthday. You can come back after that and buy me a present. August 29th, Gary Numan will be singing In Cars and Down in the Park, and probably about 10 or 12 other songs, I would imagine. Wow Hall, Eugene, Oregon, 8th and Lincoln in Eugene. Old school, dude. And then there's the Eugene Metal Celebration, which is happening the week after the Eugene Celebration, which I'll get to later. Talk about that at the end. But it's a yearly thing at the Black Forest. 3 or 4 days of metal. This year it's 3 days. August 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Black Forest. The first night features Dirt Clawed Fight, Rocket Propelled Chainsaws, Elohim, Malformed Abomination, and What They Fear. A couple bands I've never heard of, but I know Malformed Abomination includes the drummer from Necryptic, so that should be good. The next night, Gene Gray, Pantheon, Headless Pez from Portland, a.k.a. White Devil from Roseburg, and a new band called Dark Confidant will be opening the show. And then Sunday night, 31st, it's Fallen Theory, I Am Ruin, Omnihility, Purpose of Silence, and a band that I can't pronounce and I'm not going to try. Anyway, yeah, 29th, 30th, and 31st, the Eugene Metal Celebration at the end of August. August 30th, Comedy at the Baghdad with myself and Seth Milstein. Both of us will be riding up together for that show, and there'll probably be about 6 other comics, as well as your host, Tristan Spillman, for one of the last Comedy at the Baghdads. You should go check out that. $5 at the door. And it's me, so why wouldn't you want to go, right? September 8th, the Uproar Festival at the Sleep Country Amphitheater with Allison Chains, Jane's Addiction, possibly 30-pound test if you go to their website and vote for them at 30poundtest.com. I think they have a link there. You can go and cast your vote for them to open up the show. That'd be good for them and fun for you. Comedy coming to Eugene in the international stylings of Brian Posehn, metalhead, comedian, actor, whatever you want to call him, at the Wow Hall with Seattle comic Derek Sheen, who is also very funny. Check out his latest album, Holy Drivel, which has a parody of a Dio album on the front of it, which is always awesome. So Derek Sheen, Brian Posehn, the guys from the Donkey Show will be opening the show. Marcus and Drew will each be getting to do a set of stand-up to open for Posehn, so that's pretty cool for them. Metal shows coming to the Hawthorne include Diamond Head and Raven on October 11th, Creator and Overkill on the 13th of October, and then November 26th, another great opportunity for my friend Tony Avila and his band World of Lies as they get to open for Morbid Angel. Yes, Morbid Angel, World of Lies, and Seasons of Suffering at the Hawthorne Theater, November 26th. Check online for tickets for that. And then the last thing I want to talk about is Eugene Celebration. The 23rd through the 25th of August, I will be on one of the stages announcing bands and whatnot, and doing some jokes in between. And look, my fucking sound bed ended before I was done. And I have a weird bubble in my throat right now, so that's fucking weird. I started the music over just because I got scared. But yeah, check out those shows. I will be at Cosmic Pizza on the 23rd and 24th at 6 o'clock. It's a Friday and a Saturday. It's all ages. 8th in Charnelton in Eugene. And I will be going on 3rd, so between 6 and 6:30. Bring the kids out. I won't be cussing and stuff. I won't say cunt. And then I'll be on one of the stages on Saturday between 1:30 and 5:30. Okay, that was a lot of stuff. That's the longest plugs I've done ever. So thanks for listening, you guys. And we will see you again. Come back and listen to our show, the Terry and Gadge Comedy Show. Peace out and spark it up. Shut up and play your guitar.